This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 22nd day of March, year of our Lord, 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Prepper tip of the day. I want to encourage all of you to learn cross-country navigation. That would mean learning to use a topographical map and a lensatic compass. It can be a fun thing. It can even be a sport. In the sport form, it's called orienteering. Popular in college campuses all over the United States. It could literally be a matter of life and death to have that skill and have the maps and compasses to go with it, of course. I got some good news for all you Missouri residents. There's 2 bills, one in the House, one in the Missouri Senate, Missouri House, that look like they're going to pass regarding the Second Amendment. And here's the introductory sentence. All federal acts, laws, executive orders, administrative orders, court orders, rules, and regulations, whether past or present or future, which infringe on the people's right to keep and bear arms, as guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the United States, shall not be recognized in this state and is invalid. How about that? Missouri has a lot of freedom, a great state to live in. This is Friday morning, first hour. We have my friend Tom Berryhill. We're going to talk about emergency survival communications and continue to encourage and nudge and tell people that, quite frankly, they need to get their ham radio license, get the skills, get the equipment, and learn how to communicate without using telephones. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. We're having some nice weather now in the Ozarks, aren't we?
We are, absolutely. This is what springtime's supposed to be. You know, we've had quite a few years where we went from the furnace to air conditioning with about 10 days of spring, and we don't know what's going to happen yet this spring. Tom, I got some good news regarding my Patriot cruise. We have my friend Leon Green has signed up and made his deposit, and he will be joining us on the first John Moore Patriot Cruise Symposium on the Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines leaving Miami October 12th. We do have a limited number of cabins available, of course, and it's going to be a lot of fun. No firm commitment from Steve Whitman yet. No firm commitment from Sam Andrews. Sam really wants to be there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And Tom, I hope you can join us also.
Going to try, John. We'll just have to see how it all works out. But it sounds very, very interesting.
It will be. It'll be a chance to rub elbows and be with people like my friend Jeff from Denver, a physicist. People you would never, ever get a chance to spend some time with. Well, Tom, emerging communications. I got a note from a woman down in, I think she's in Arizona or New Mexico. She said she went to a ham fest, and her note said it looked like a garage sale for radio equipment, which I guess a person could describe it that way, couldn't they?
Well, yeah, you could. It's exactly what it is. I went to my first ham fest in 1970, and it was an eye-opener, I'll tell you that. Everything you could think of as far as electronics and communications equipment, ham equipment, and a lot of other types of stuff, too, was all there. Anything you could dream up was probably there. You just had to dig around and look for it. It's getting to that time of year where those start becoming popular with the with the good weather. They start having the ham fest, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and you can buy, I'm sure for you, Tom, it's probably a social event, just like going to a gun show. I can't walk 10 feet in a gun show without meeting somebody I know. But besides being a social event, you never know what you're going to find on those tables at a ham fest, do you?
Oh, that's really true. I went to, I hadn't been to a ham fest in years, John, and I went to the one in St. Louis right before Halloween last year, and was visiting with some guys I haven't seen in 30 years, so it was quite a social event. We had a great time, but I did look around and buy a few things, small items, nothing huge, but there was all types of equipment, and anybody that just getting started would have done quite well at that AmFest. There were some bargains on some entry-level equipment if you're just getting started. I think you could have set up an entire station that would have been something you could be proud of for a couple hundred dollars just from that ham fest.
Well, as hobbies go, ham radio is certainly on the low end of money to be spent. Obviously, an automobile hobby or an airplane hobby or a boat hobby is going to be very expensive. So getting into ham radio is something that the average guy or average gal that doesn't have great financial means can get involved with for just a very small amount of money. We used the analogy the other day of what it costs to take mom, dad, two kids for a movie and pizza afterwards. You're looking at $100 just to do that for a Friday evening, aren't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's expensive. But, yeah, the ham radio can be inexpensive. You can get started for very little money. You don't need to have a very thick wallet just to get started. Of course, you might add things as you go, and if you want to set up a really big station where you're going to spend thousands of dollars, but you can get started in a very economical way.
Yeah, well, I've driven past some of these ham radio persons' homes, and they have an antenna array that looks like you belong to the NSA or NASA. You can get involved at any level you want. Entry level for a couple $100, or be bouncing signals off the moon and communicating with other people on the other side of the planet on a regular basis, and everything in between, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, John. And, you know, there's a lot of hams that do that. They call it EME, Earth, Moon, Earth. They bounce their signals off the moon. And, of course, takes the time for the signal to go to the moon, bounce off, and come back. And, of course, it's very attenuated. The signal is much weaker as it comes back. But you'll hear your own transmission bounce back to you. That is an amazing thing.
It is, absolutely. Well, a question that always comes up with my listeners, not necessarily concerning ham radio, but it should. people inquiring. I get emails and telephone calls, and here's the question: John, how can I meet people in my area of like mind? And this is one of the answers. You're more likely to find people of like mind in a ham radio club than you are at a hunting club or your local church or the local Kiwanis or Lions Club. Much more likely to find people of like mind when it comes to preparedness, aren't you, Tom?
I think so, yes. I think you're 100% correct on that, John.
Well, so there's some motivation. If you want to meet people in your neighborhood, in your zip code, the zip codes that are nearby, find your local ham radio club. I would say 9 out of 10 men and women involved in ham radio have, to a certain extent, an interest in preparedness. Obviously, we're dealing with human beings here. Some people will be more interested than others. But I'm not aware of any other group, other than a specific preparedness group, of course, that has that such a high percentage of members that are really interested in preparedness and actually do something about it. Now, the field days in every ham radio club, or almost all of them probably, participate in field days where they actually do a drill. They go, typically it would be a public park, maybe with an overhead shelter, maybe one of those concrete fire pits where you can barbecue. And they spend the day communicating with no attachment to the power grid. Right, Tom?
It's exactly what they do. And on field day, you can have utility power, but it cuts down on your ability to accumulate a higher score. You have some penalties attached to the scoring system because of that. So most people go with batteries or solar-powered generators and so on to accumulate more points, because it is not only a practice, emergency communications practice, it's also a contest.
And of course, all I would need to do is back up my town car to the shelter and plug in the entire system to the town car, and it could run all day long.
Yeah, you could do that because you have that power inverter in there, and that's a good way to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And anybody can. There's nothing special about John Moore's Lincoln Town Car, which has over 300,000 miles on it, by the way, 2002. The book value of my car is probably right at about $1,000 right now, Tom, on a good day. The radios inside the car are worth more than the car itself, aren't they?
You know, that's usually the case. And my first car was a 63 Chevy, and I had a Motorola Motrap in there. And the local police department, you know, I was 17 years old, and the local police department, they went nuts over that because they'd see that antenna on the car. And when they looked at my car one time, they saw that radio in there. It was the same exact thing that they had in the police cars, and those cops did not like that. Of course, it was on ham radio frequencies, but they just thought that some 17-year-old guy shouldn't have that kind of stuff in their car. And they gave me a lot of static over that, but I had fun with it too.
I know you did. I've heard the stories. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about emergency survival communications. That's what it is. There will be on my cruise, the John Moore Patriot cruise, we will have at least 1 hour of serious discussion about emergency survival communications. There will be a book issued to every family that they can take, and with them it'll be part of the package that they get. And you'll learn during this session, you'll learn what you need to know, the equipment you need to have, the skills you need to have, and have a book to take home with you that will give all the details in case you need to refresh your memory as part of the cruise. The cruise will be a combination of fun and serious stuff, and get-togethers and serious stuff, along with visiting ports of call. And it's a sport you can a hobby that you can participate in from age 8 to, well, 108. No reason why an 8-year-old boy or girl can't participate, and we have routinely get 8-year-old boys and girls to get their ham radio license. And of course, the average age of a ham radio operator, I think, is mid to late 60s, isn't it, Tom? Maybe even older?
Well, it seems like that, John. I mean, it was a big attraction back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And the ham radio operators were, in those days, the nerds that we have today. You know, the computer nerds and all that, as they were called. That was the ham radio operators back then, before computers came around. So, yeah, it attracted a lot of people like that were interested in electronics and in radio. So, needless to say, a lot of us are older, but there's a lot of young people getting into it. There really is. They're interested in it. They like it. Yeah, and it's easy to pass the test nowadays. They've made it a lot simpler. Everything is simplified. And with just a few weeks of study, I really think almost anybody could pass that test.
Well, the place to get the information you need, I have a link in my links page, is the Amateur Radio League website. It's ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org. That's the portal, the gateway, the beginning point to learn anything and everything you need to know to get started. And of course, once you do have your ham radio license, a place to continue to get educational materials, to get updates, to find out what's going on in the ham radio world. Right, Tom?
Yes, that's right, John. ARRL.org. They'll have everything you need. They have books. They have study guides. They have all the way from very basic information on how to get started all the way up to some extremely technical publications. If you're interested in the technical side of things, they have the materials there. As a matter of fact, a lot of universities have used the American Radio Relay League's publications as study material for engineering courses as far as electronics goes.
Textbooks,
yes,
yeah.
They do.
Well, they should, because they are that well-written. When you're studying for the ham radio license, you have access to something that we wish we had when we were in school, in high school or college. You have access to not only all the questions, but all the answers. So here's the deal. They have a pool of questions. It may be several hundred. I don't nail me down to an exact number, but let's just pick a number out of the air, 400 answers. So you have access to all 400 answers, knowing that they're going to pick 100 questions out of that pool to get those to get the test put together. So you'll know all the questions and all the answers. And under those circumstances, most everybody can pass relatively quickly, right, Tom?
I think so, and I've talked to people that have taken the test. John, I haven't taken a test in 45 years, a ham test, so I'm not up to speed on what the materials are, other than I've seen the test questions, but I've not taken a test, so I don't know how long it takes. But the average person that's taken this test, the people I've talked to, they said they found that if they did study for less than a month, just maybe 3 to 4 weeks, take a couple of nights a week and study it, they could pass. And some of these people told me they could memorize some of the questions. And they took the online testing. There's different websites where you can try out it, like a sample test, and see how you score. And then, of course, that is helpful because it will then focus on the areas where you're weak and help you to come up to speed on those particular subjects. And then you're pretty much ready to take it once you can consistently pass that test.
Right. Now, people may go to their local sporting goods store and they'll see what we call blister pack radios. That refers to the type of packaging that heavy plastic anti-shoplifting blister pack Motorola radios. There could be other brands, but Motorola is probably one of the more popular ones. They're about the size of a pack of cigarettes. On the back of it, it'll say that you can talk 18 miles or 20 miles or whatever it is. Well, we make fun of those in the ham radio community because we know the reality is if that was going to take place at all, 18 or 20 miles, it would be between two mesas in Arizona, not the real world electorates live in. Here's our break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about investing in gold and silver and my sponsor, GoldWealthFinancial.com. Protecting your portfolio by investing in gold and silver, you not only protect your hard-earned assets from any future financial crisis or economic collapse, you also have access to the actual gold and silver. You'll still be able to purchase everything you want and need should our currency lose its worth, because gold and silver never lose their value. We're talking privacy here. When you buy your gold and silver, it's private. When you sell your gold and silver, it's private. Go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Click on the link for goldwealthfinancial.com and check out these people. They're great people. I work with them. I trust them. And you can also. Give them a call. Their telephone number is 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool town. There I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 22nd of March. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you go there, you'll find the information on the first John Moore Patriot Symposium cruise on Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. We leave Miami October 12th. We return October 19th. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll get to meet my friend Leon Green, probably some others. It's not, they haven't made commitments yet. You have until July the 31st to make your commitment and book your cabin. If you don't have internet access, give Betsy a call to get more details. She'll mail you a nice little sheet on it. Betsy's number is 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. This is Friday morning, first hour. We talk about emergency survival communications. And Tom Berryhill graciously comes on with us to help us figure out what this deal is with emergency survival communications, how it works, why it works, and so forth. Tom, getting back to these blister pack radios, I have some myself. I have a pair I use on operations where I'll be doing executive protection or maybe transporting a troubled teen, and I need to be able to talk with my partner within maybe 200-300 feet, maybe 400-500 feet at the most. They're fine under those circumstances. About the length of two football fields, I'll trust them, and they work perfectly the length of two football fields. But that's about it, isn't it, Tom?
That's about it, unless you're in a hot air balloon or an airplane or on two mountaintops. otherwise, they have a very limited range. They're very low powered, and that's the same thing with the ham HTs. You know, a lot of new hams, the first thing they want to do is purchase a handheld radio, because they're used to a cell phone, and everybody thinks that cell phone works so good, and there's no antenna or anything sticking out of that, so why can't that ham transceiver that fits in the palm of my hand work the same? And what everybody needs to learn is that the infrastructure for that ham radio is right there. It's that radio and the distant station that you're talking to. Whereas the cell phones, they go to the nearest tower, and there's a huge infrastructure that's built up for the cellular industry. And it's two totally different methods of communications. If all of those cell towers go down, your cell phone's not going to work, but the ham radio equipment will still work as long as you have power to run it, such as a 12-volt car battery or a mobile unit installed in your car and a handheld radio and a way to charge it. Even a solar panel could charge up that handheld radio. You'd be able to talk from the car to that portable unit over a short distance, not very far, but if you have higher power, like two mobile units, you could easily talk 5 or 6, maybe 7 miles, maybe even farther along than that if you're up in higher areas or the ground is flat and there's no obstructions. And then if you have a base unit with a much higher antenna, you could easily talk 40 miles, something like that.
Right.
And there's no infrastructure to worry about, because it is the radio equipment that the ham operators are using. There's nothing in between unless there's a repeater station. Now, sometimes repeater stations are used, and they will be in a tall building or tower, and they have to have their own power system. That's about as complex as it gets, John. It's actually simple.
Right. Well, you've been to my place, Tom, several times, and I've personally talked using a 5-watt handy talking to Hillsboro, Missouri, from my home, and I used I had a 2-meter antenna up above the trees with heavy coax, and the 2-meter handheld radio putting out probably was less than 5 watts, which I don't know how many watts it was, but it's still illegal to have more than 5 watts. And there's a reason for that. We need to give people a bit of education here. That frequency coming out of these handheld radios is not very far away from the same frequency used in microwave ovens. So you really don't want a lot of power at that frequency very close to your brain, do you, sir?
No, you really don't. You know, John, as a matter of fact, when you apply for your ham license, I'm pretty sure they still have that question in there where you have to certify that your equipment is not a radiation hazard. And then I think the rules are if it's over 50 watts, 50 watts of power, that might be effective radiated power. I don't remember, but you have to then do take special precautions to make sure the radiation isn't harming anybody or the environment. So it's something to pay attention to.
It is. Now, this is serious, professional-grade equipment and needs to be treated accordingly. We have a bottom-of-the-hour break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Like smoke up there now. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That website's goldwealthfinancial.com. There's a link at my website, thelibertyman.com. I know you've been investing in brass, ordnance, steel, and lead for years. It's time to move forward and also invest in gold and silver. Go to Steve's website, goldwealthfinancial.com. Download the free Rookie Mistakes Guide. If you don't have internet access, I know many of you don't, give him a call and he'll mail you a copy of it. It's beautiful. 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Steve has put together a great team of men and women that really know their stuff, can help you learn about how to invest in gold and silver safely, economically, and do it the right way. You'll be very glad to work with Steve and his people. Thank you very much.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 22nd of March. My website is thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Now smartphone compatible. Thank goodness it was a challenge. And many things are back that you're used to seeing, some new things you've never seen before. My friend who puts together the section called Open Source Intelligence, former intelligence officer, retired. He's got a PhD. If you want to know what's going on in the world, especially when it comes to international relations, geopolitical matters, Muslim terrorism, we update that just about every day of the week. It's a lot of work to put this together, and I'm very happy that we're able to share that with you. Also, at my website, you'll find energy clients for sale. I use mine every night. I know many of you, probably most of you over age 50, have issues with arthritis pain. You're probably not sleeping as well as you would like to. I doubt you're sleeping as well as I do. You sleep as well as you did when you were a child. I sleep as well as I did when I was a child. That's because I use an energy cleaner every night. You can also. You may be thinking, oh, this little black plastic box, that can't possibly help me. The doctors and all these expensive drugs don't help. Well, get over it. get yourself an energy cleaner. Keep in mind the following. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. Your medical doctor is highly unlikely to do that. They'd be out of business, wouldn't they? 90-day money-back guarantee. The only $285 should be included in American zip codes. The mattress pads that go with it, it's a great combination. Nearly everybody's getting their mattress pad with their energy cleaner right at the get-go. You can use PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check. You can call my toll-free auto line. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. This is First Hour, Friday morning. We're visiting with Tom Berryhill, talking about emergency communications. The call number is 800-313-9443. Tom, we got our first caller on hold here. We got Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. Hi. You know, Tom, my equipment is only a radiation hazard because I use a very small fusion reactor to power my 5-kilowatt linear. Other than that, it shouldn't be a problem.
I agree, Glenn, but you know, the FCC has those regulations. I got to tell you about one type of radio, though. You know, the frequency is also important. Now, you get up to, like, microwave ovens, I think they're around 2.6 gigahertz. Well, there's a lot of equipment that operates at 2.4, which is Wi-Fi equipment, Bluetooth equipment, and then I see these people going around with these earpieces for their cell phone to plug in their ear, and it's a Bluetooth adapter thing that transmits right to their cell phone. And that thing's transmitting all the time, back and forth with the phone, and they've got that thing stuck right in their ear. I think that's very dangerous. I would never use one of those. And then people that hold the phone up to their ear, a cell phone, constantly talk on it for hours. I personally knew one person that did that, and that lady died at 59 years of age. She was on that cell phone constantly, hours and hours per day with that phone up to her ear, and she ended up with several brain tumors, and she passed away. They couldn't say for sure, but those tumors were all in the area of the ear that she would hold that phone up to. I told her not to do it, but she did it anyway.
The classic story, the cordless phones on the cell phones, both of the woman who had, you know, back when the cordless phones for the house used to have antennas on them, and there's, you know, a very famous case of this woman who had this, you know, this tumor that was shaped right along where the antenna went alongside her head all the time. So, and for some reason, I had an uncle who passed away from a brain tumor. He was older. He was in his 80s, I believe. But for some reason, it seems to be glioblastomas that people get from this.
Yeah.
There are a variety of different tumors. But the glioblastomas are very... are very aggressive and very they metastasize and they're very aggressive and grow quickly. So it seems to be those that cause.
Yes. And you know, something else, Glenn, here's something that I know you're involved in the medical field, so you would understand this, but and ham radio as well, so you'll understand this. But years ago, when some of the land mobile equipment, mainly for police departments, law enforcement, so on, they were moving over to the 800 megahertz band, and they wanted to have these portable HTs, and some of these were relatively high power for that type of equipment, maybe 4 or 5 watts. And the early tests and experiments showed that those antennas were radiating right into their eyes, because a quarter wave antenna was maybe only an inch long, so they would have a very small antenna on that thing, and when you put that HT up to your mouth to talk, that antenna was right in line with your eyes, and they were having problems with retina damage from that radiation off that radio. So what they did, I know Motorola for certain did this, they made the antennas longer, but only the very tip of that antenna did the radiating. So the antenna itself was like a piece of coaxial cable transmission line to the radiating element that was maybe 5 or 6 inches higher up, and also put it farther away from your body, and especially not in line with your eyes. And that's what they did. And that's why those antennas were so long on those radios. It was to get that radiation away from your eyes.
Well, funny you should mention that, Tom, because as we speak here today, Monday of this week, I just had my second cataract operation on my second eye, my left eye. I had my right one done back in at the end of January. And I am amazed and grateful for their ability to do this. I thank God and man for all this technology, because I had implanted in both eyes. They now have a multifocal lens. Historically, cataract surgery normally corrects your distance vision to be very good, but not your reading vision, but your near vision. Now, with a multifocal lens, I can read, I can see both well at a distance and read. And they tell me I shouldn't need glasses for the rest of my life. It's just absolutely
Well, that's very interesting.
Well, congratulations, Glenn. That's good news.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear
it's very good news. Yeah, now if only I can find... I'll tell you what, as much as allopathic medicine drives us nuts, especially in the realm of, the pharmaceutical establishment, the emergency medicine, the surgical establishment seem to be the shining light right now in Western medicine.
If the diagnosis is correct, there's about half the men having prostate surgery do not have cancer. So there has to be a correct diagnosis.
Yeah, well, the big thing, and I don't know what they're doing now, but the big thing for the longest time was everybody was given a TURP, a transurethral resection of the prostate. The TURP is the big thing. And then you spend the rest of your life uncomfortable. And I think they might have some better things, but benign prostatic hypertrophy doesn't necessitate a surgery necessarily, and they're coming up with, they do have some pharmaceuticals for that, but yeah, for aging males, that the bridge has to be crossed, but anyway, for some reason I'm thinking jokes of yellow water under the bridge. Anyway, Tom, one thing about radio I was going to ask, we see all these disasters in places like, Mozambique and stuff like that. It seems to me, in terms of repeaters, going vertical can be useful in these, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you're trying to call for help, it would be awful nice to log on to an Oscar satellite repeater and make a phone call for help. Are there Oscars up there still these days?
There's still the ham satellites, but some of them are LEO, low Earth orbiting, and they only come around so many hours. There's several of them out there, and then they make a pass, and it's only when they're overhead that you can really communicate with them. So it's not a constant.
They're not geosynchronous.
No. Those are not, and they're constantly traveling. A lot of emergency communications has been handed off as far as cell phones go to satellite phones, since we're talking about satellites
right
now. And yeah, the sat phones are really good, but they're expensive to use. They have their limitations as well, but they do work. They work really good, and a lot of those are used, but they're not in wide use. So that's why when the cell systems go down, everybody's in a panic. The satellite phones still work.
Right. Well,
we're walking on each other. We have a slight delay, so
yeah.
That's why we're both
okay.
trying to talk at the
that's
same
okay.
time. But the ham equipment comes into play if there's a wide outage and just nothing's working, the infrastructure's down. The ham operators always know how to get through, and they can pick frequency. See, with a commercial operation, like, say for instance, a commercial company or maybe law enforcement, they're assigned specific frequencies in just several bands, usually UHF and VHF, and they will use those frequencies, and they're good for local communications, but not long range. the ham operators can come in and operate on HF, VHF, UHF. And the ham operators can pick the frequencies that they want to use within the ham radio bands, and they will know from the skills that they've gained from using this equipment, experimenting with it, they'll know which frequencies, which bands to use for that time of day, that time of year, and so on. And they can then set up a quick system that will put together a communications infrastructure for that disaster, and it will cover that entire area. And they can then really help to get messages in and out and help with safety communications and so on.
Right. Well, when you think about it, a sat phone is really nothing more than a radio logging on to a geosynchronous satellite as a repeater and using a phone patch. So if it hadn't been for ham radio operators and the military pioneering those technologies, there would be no civilian sat phones. Yeah.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. And so many of the early pioneers in the cell industry, communications in general, they were ham operators themselves. I've met so many engineers that were involved in cell phone development. When I manufactured multi-layer circuit boards, several of my customers were companies developing cellular equipment. And sometimes the phones themselves, and sometimes just the base station equipment, but it was amazing how many of them were also ham operators. I'd say three-fourths of them were also ham operators.
Pretty amazing.
Right.
Glenn, we really appreciate your call. Okay.
Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Talk Radio is Best. The listeners learn from us. We learn from the listeners. The callers contribute their part. It all works together, doesn't it, Tom?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, John. And with the comments about the engineers and the cell phone industry and so on, if you're contemplating obtaining a ham radio license, you're studying, you're thinking about it, if you have young children, get them involved, because it really is an education that you could never get at the finest university. When you start at a young age and you have somebody involved in ham radio, they start getting interested. They learn the very basics, but they may want to dig into that equipment and learn how it works all the way down to the component level. And
right.
That young person will grow up and develop skills that are
right.
second to
right.
none, and they will be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, most of what children do for play activity is pretending to do what adults do in real life. This is just the opposite. In this case, 8-year-old boys and girls can actually do adult activities with the same equipment, with the same responsibilities that adults do. And it gives children a sense of responsibility. It teaches them to do real adult things in the real adult world, as opposed to make-believe, right, Tom?
That's absolutely correct, John. It really is.
So that's a good thing. And I know, for example, when I got my first library card, I was, I think, in the second or third grade, I just felt so grown up and so important that I had this little piece of paper the size of a business card that allowed me to walk into this massive building. Of course, when you're 7 or 8 years old, everything's massive. And and walk out with these really big, heavy, beautiful books that I was trusted to take care and custody of until I brought them back at the appointed time. So many children have the similar feelings, that they want to be trusted to do adult things and take responsibility. So it all works together to achieve a very worthwhile goal, doesn't it, Tom?
It really does. It really does, John. And, you know, speaking of libraries, when I first got started in ham radio all those years ago, there was no internet to look up this information. You had to go to the library and find the technical manuals, and if you're trying to learn about a certain type of circuit or antenna connections and technology, you had to look it up. Sometimes they had to go to another library and get the book sent in, and you come back a week later and they would have it. I mean, everything was in slow motion as far as learning and studying. And now with the internet, you can learn so fast as far as ham radio goes in many different subjects. The information is right there, and it's available immediately. So it really is quite a bit easier nowadays to get into the ham radio if you think you're interested. It's not a big task to get started and learn and get your license. I really think anybody can do it in just a few weeks, less than a month for sure, if they just put their mind to it.
And once you've done that, it can be fun. Mom and dad and the children can have their own radios, and they can communicate back and forth with the radios instead of cell phones, to practice and have fun with it and learn how to use this equipment, be comfortable with it. And here's a quick heads up for a family or several families. When it comes to the handy talkies, the handheld radios, you need to standardize on one model so you have compatible batteries and chargers and holsters and antennas. That's very important, isn't it, Tom?
It really is. It makes things so much simpler.
It does. It does. Here's our break.
Have spares of everything.
Here's our break. We'll be right back.
Here's a little song.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That's goldwealthfinancial.com. You may not know, I didn't know until recently, that you could have gold and silver in your IRA. It's a wonderful idea. Many IRAs are subject to problems such as inflation or, in the event of an invested IRA, fluctuations in the stock market. Few people realize there's a smaller alternative, a precious metals IRA. Contact Steve at goldwealthfinancial.com. If you don't have internet access, give him a call at 480-440-7100. Be sure and ask for the Rookie Mistakes Guide. It's free. He'll mail it to you. If you don't have internet access, he'll drop it a copy in the mail to you. If you do have internet access, it's a free download at his website at goldwealthfinancial.com. Great people, great service. Get in contact with my friend Steve Hunt. Thank you very much.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, we're back with Philip Jared Moore here on Friday, the 22nd of March. Every Friday, we take an hour to encourage people, educate people, give them a little nudge. Because right now, Tom, we have what appears to be the luxury of time to get ready for whatever's coming next, such as, oh, how about 4 feet of rain in Texas? 4 feet of rain ruin your whole day, won't it?
Well, yeah, it really would. And sometimes we get those types of storms that pours down like that, and we get so much rain in a short period of time. Look at the flooding up in Iowa, John.
That's right. That's right. Well, there's no place on this planet that's completely safe from all natural disasters. That place does not exist. Some places have different issues than others, but there's no square foot on this planet that's safe from all natural disasters, is there, Tom?
No, not at all.
That
and
place
as
doesn't
far
exist.
As communications goes, right. With ham radio equipment, you could easily help out in those areas where there's a lack of communications. For instance, those floods in Iowa. Look how much of the state is underwater. Nebraska, Iowa, they're having problems up there. I guarantee you a lot of that infrastructure has been severely damaged. And as far as communications goes, and that equipment's not working now, that's where it could be very helpful to have ham radio equipment. If you have to contact other family members, if you want to help your community, it's just a very wise thing to get involved with. If you have the interest, this is a good time to get started. Information is widely available. Websites help you to learn the testing questions, and you can be well on your way.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're doing our part. We're getting the word out. Everybody else, they have their choice. As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Well, we're leading everybody to the water here. It's your choice to drink or not drink, and I respect that. I don't have an emotional attachment to the outcome. If people make this choice to move forward, I'm happy. If they don't, I'm not going to have any emotional attachment to that either. How about you, Tom?
Same here, John. We'll do what we can to help people, but they have to put forth the effort to get started.
That's right. So that's what we do every week. And we're picking up people along the way. I'm getting reports back, Tom, that we're having some effect. People listen to us. They move forward. They go to the ARRL.org website. They get started studying. They get their ham radio license. They join a local ham radio club. And they're moved forward to be safe and ready to deal with whatever comes at us. Right, Tom?
That's right. That's right. And again, the equipment can be very inexpensive, and it's easy to get started, and we'll just keep talking about it, John, and hopefully continue to spark interest in
Well, it's radio. There's new people every week. Tom, I don't want to be cut off by music. I want to thank you for being with us, sir, and we'll be talking privately soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Okay. The top of the hour break coming up here momentarily. We have Dr. Lynn Wilbert with us. Stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.